Bucky Brooks is back. We're joined now by Fox Sports analyst Rick Bucher. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's move to Colin Kaepernick, who, as we all know, had a very busy weekend. Kaepernick was supposed to have an NFL workout that 25 teams were expected to attend, but then he changed the venue at the last minute, put on his own workout for the media that only 8 teams showed up to. Cap actually showed up wearing a Kunta Kinte t-shirt and afterwards had a message for the NFL. Take a listen.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth, stop running from the people. We're out here, we're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team, interview with any team at any time. I've been ready, I'm staying ready, and I'll continue to be ready.
Now, Cap obviously thinks he's ready, but do you guys think he's serious about playing football?
No, not at all. I don't. I've said this for 3 years, that ever since he started this, this was his way of quitting football. The game's too hard for him. He's not built for it. And he's just not built for it. And, you know, I think he proved it this weekend when you run away from a job interview, 25 teams sent real people to go scout him, and he ran. He's talking about Roger Goodell running. He ran.
Wow. I do believe he is serious about playing. I just think that his interpretation of reality may be a tad bit off. When you look at the operation of how his workout went, and you're a former scout, Bucky. We scout talent. That's our thing. You mentioned the whole checklist. Kunta Kinte shirt was a fail because it wasn't a Castro. It was a Kunta Kinte shirt. Y'all look up who Kunta Kinte is. Two, he didn't run a 40, so I guess that's a fail. Three, there was no flag involved. But I talked to a source close to this situation and sat in the meetings on organizing this workout. Everything that he wanted, the NFL agreed to. The only one of the main points that they wanted and stuck to their guns with was them running the practice, workout, workout. All right. Now he goes and he runs this practice and this workout. But you tell me, all he did was do a warm up. That was not a workout. You want to know what a workout is? Let me tell you what a workout is. Multiple receivers running routes. That's a workout. No simulated pass rushers were involved. You want to see if he can get the ball out and move when the pass rush is coming. No timing for the release of the ball. No play action fakes. We didn't get to see his footwork. No rollouts. No read progressions. All of these things were going to take place if he worked out at the Falcons facility. All the things that you want to see take place, if I'm a scout and I'm going to hire you, one ball, it's great. It went viral. The whole world saw it. You throw a ball. It was deep. It was nice. It was a dime. That does not mean you are ready to go play in the National Football League. There are a lot of other elements that you have to show other than that polarizing moment of him throwing a deep ball. That's great. And that plays a part. But that does not mean you've solidified that you're ready over here to go out and play in the NFL.
No, I haven't run these kind of workouts for years as a scout, not necessarily for pros, but for college guys. The one thing that you want to see from guys is you want to see them treat the workout like a job interview. When I was a young kid, my dad used to tell me, look, when you go for an interview, humble and hungry. Presentation matters. Now, in the regular workplace, get a haircut, come in a suit, look like you're ready for the part. I know at a pro workout, you definitely don't show up in a Kunta Kinte t-shirt wanting someone to give you a job. Like, that right there ended it for me. And I've been one of his biggest supporters in terms of, look, he deserves to have an opportunity to play in the league because he's better than some of the guys that are backing up. However, when you show up like that, looking like you're ready to box, you're ready to have verbal sparring with owners, why would any owner see to bring you in? Look, the National Football League is a privilege. It's not a right. You have to do whatever is necessary to have your opportunity to get in. He didn't do that. So now I can't imagine a team bringing him in and saying, we want to deal with the Colin Kaepernick experiment.
Darnell, what's up? This used to be a fun segment. What are we doing? What are we doing
not
here?
Not today, Rick.
Look, this workout was a platform for him to say what he said afterward without calling a press conference. That's why he couldn't do it on the NFL's terms, because there wasn't going to be any press there. So he wasn't going to have the opportunity to say what he wanted to say, which was essentially, you blackballed me for 3 years. Now go sign me now. Kneel to me and sign me and show how wrong you were. As if the NFL is going to say, you know what, you're right, our bad. Come on back. What have we been thinking? You're right. You're right in that his understanding of reality is, he's delusional in terms of if he really wants to play. And that's why I just don't believe that he wants to play. I believe that it's something else. Because if it's all about playing, and I don't believe, to be honest, I don't believe either side wanted this to happen. If the NFL wants it to have happen, then you give it a little more of a run-up. You make it an honest effort, and you give him the opportunity to be in his best light. They didn't do that, and then he obviously wasn't interested in trying to combat that.
Rick, I'm always defending the NFL, but I know for a fact, behind the scenes, Kaepernick's people, something should happen. Something should happen. He's ready. Anytime, any place, I'll show. Anytime, any place? Okay, meet us Saturday in Atlanta. We'll have 25 people there. We'll have a facility. But they called his bluff, and he folded because he doesn't really want to play football, and he doesn't like resistance. And so you're right. He did all this so he could take 90 seconds to utter a statement. No resistance. He doesn't want to play 7-on-7. He doesn't want anybody asking him a follow-up question. He's not built for this. I'm going to hurt some people. He's not man enough for this. He needs to work through his issues before he's ready to step into a real man's world, because I'm just sorry. You don't get to dictate to a group of billionaires, millionaires, thousandaires how they give you a job. You don't get to call that shot. And so quarterback is the ultimate trust position. The organization partners with you, the head coach, offensive coordinator partner with you. Trust is the essential element. And he's basically held a press conference, I don't trust nobody. I don't trust the NFL, I don't trust nobody. If I can't have my own camera crew, who wants to partner? That's like getting married to somebody that says, I don't trust you. Damn it, I can need a GPS device on you wherever you go because I don't trust you. Now let's get married.
But we didn't need a workout for that. Like, there needed to be conversations, not a workout. And on both sides of it, to me, that's what made this grandstanding as opposed to really trying to get something done, to find an avenue in which Colin could actually play in the league again.
Well, back to the reality aspect of it and what that looks like for Kaepernick. If you're going to have that statement at the end of the workout and you're thanking the people who are there, you thank them, they've been attacked for 3 years, you made a very clear point that the people that were standing in front of you, you were thanking them. You didn't thank any of the people who got on airplanes from the 25 teams that decided to come watch you on a Saturday that was just for you. You didn't thank the supporters or the people who were behind the scenes trying to make sure that this could be a smooth opportunity for Kaepernick. None of those people were thanked in that moment. So to look at what he saw as reality, these people are supporting me. They knew that that was where the workout was going to be. It was already predetermined that he was going to work out there. All right. When you say we're moving the workout, and you don't give the people who are going to run the workout even enough time, travel time, right? Mm-hmm. You let them know an hour before, and it was an hour and 20 minutes away, all right? You do the math. You did not want to have to go through what it was that you were going to go through. If you went out there and you did the exercises exactly the way the NFL were going to do it, you ran a 4.5, 4.6, 40. You ran the routes, and the routes were crisp. You were going through your read progressions. If this was made more about football, then we can sit there and we could say, in reality, some of the things that Kaepernick saw and thought may have been on point. But because it was just a toss the football around moment in time with a very forceful statement.
I've made all the passes that he completed. I literally make some of them now. And the people running around thinking like he proved anything as a football player on Saturday don't know a damn thing about football. Reggie Bush and LeVar Arrington are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it home. Take it away.
You all right with
it? Bring us home.
Why
bring us
home. Like he rapping.
I don't know what's going on.
We're going to do something a little different today, y'all. Yeah. I grew up a big Survivor fan myself. I don't know if y'all fans. Yeah. We're going to play a little bit of Survivor Island. Let's take us to Carolina, where Panthers owner David Tepper says he won't accept mediocrity after his team got embarrassed by the Falcons Sunday. Tepper also said he won't make a decision on Cam Newton's future until the QB is healthy and wouldn't discuss Ron Rivera's future either. There's been a lot of talk that one of those guys won't be there next year. Mm. So I want to know, who are you voting off Panthers Island? Cam Rivera.
I'm going to let you go.
I'm first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I don't want to pick like myself. I don't want to pick that. Boy, you better pick some. Okay. Ron Rivera. Damn, this is a hard choice. But let's be real about this. If I had to roll the dice on Cam Newton, that's a higher ceiling but a lower floor. But I'm in Vegas right now. I got to roll the dice. I got to say Cam Newton healthy out there will be more than a Ron Rivera who's kind of showed what kind of coach he is, which is a winning coach. But is he a Super Bowl winning coach? Whereas Cam Newton, you roll the dice, get him healthy, he's going to take you to the Super Bowl and possibly get you over the hump. Still a little more upside for Cam Newton. That's my choice.
I'm confused because last week we sat here and how expendable Cam Newton was.
Circumstances.
And your boy threw four interceptions.
Again.
And now we trying to play Survivor on TV.
Again.
Is he expendable? I'm choosing Ron Rivera. I'm going Ron Rivera.
Well, we together.
I still believe in Cam Newton. But long, long time ago, about a week ago, everybody was sitting up here trashing Cam
we
Newton.
We weren't trashing him.
He's expendable.
The circumstances.
They win without him. Are they still winning?
No.
I might want to rethink that, Carolina.
I'm going Ron as well. I like Ron. He's a great man, but I think they've plateaued. I'm thinking that their last time they won their division was in 15. Yeah. So it's 5 years they're almost on of not making the playoffs. If I'm going to get rid of Cam, I might as well start over with a new coach and let him make that decision.
Oh, so you're kicking them both off the island.
I mean, I can take a vote that gets rid of all
my own
of them.
Island.
I can get rid of all of them because if I bring in – look, I'm a new owner. Rivera is not my coach. Oh. So if I replace the coach, then I bring the coach in. He evaluates Cam, and if he feels good about it, keep him. If you don't, get rid of him.
Dips.
And then the island is all new and ready to go with something different.
I don't know if many of y'all have watched Survivor.
Yeah, I have.
Put that torch
Survivor.
Out.
I have,
and that's why I'm voting Cam Newton off the island.
Why?
Because Cam Newton wants off the island. Sometimes people quit on Survivor, like, this ain't for me. Eating snake meat and all whatever else out there.
Right.
This ain't for me. Peace out. Cam Newton, Carolina, it's over.
Is it?
If I'm Cam Newton, I want a fresh start. Mm. I don't want to deal with any of this baggage left over in Carolina. And so I'm voting Cam off because I want what's best for Cam. L.A. Chargers, maybe even Chicago Bears.
Mm.
Who knows? But Carolina, I look at their defense and say it's backing up. I look at – now, I do like Christian McCaffrey. I like some of their young receivers. Nice. But to me, he's done all he can in Carolina. He needs a fresh start because, again, you bring in a new coach, eventually a new coach is going to want his own quarterback.
But you looked at a lot of things, but you didn't follow the money. Cam Newton is due only – $19 million next year. So why get rid of him? That is discount bargain Costco rates for a quarterback. And who knows what you could get out of Cam Newton? You redshirt him this year. Don't come back. We're 5-5. Stop playing, Cam. We ain't going to make the playoffs.
Don't need
it. All right, go ahead. Heal up.
Toothpaste.
See you in the offseason.
Get the toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
How much is left?
How much is left? This is really the mayonnaise with a little water. Like, man, right. I got to make this work. And you just keep shaking it and see what happens next year.
You better put
million.
Some water on it.
$19 million. I'm going to see.
I ain't never put no water in mayonnaise. I don't know what y'all talking about. That's disgusting.
See, Reggie, your cereal.
Maybe
man.
In like.
Water in your cereal?
Water in your cereal. Reggie Bull.
We ain't had milk,
bro. You're a Californian, man.
No. Reggie was getting
milk.
A lot earlier.
That USC money.
We had milk.
USC. Fight, fight.
That was a movie reference from California.
He's still mad about the pregame speech to Columbia.
Let's get back on the You don't think it would be better for Cam to play someplace else?
It could be. I think it could be at this point. Just looking at the amount of weapons that they do or don't have with Carolina – I think if he goes somewhere else, like you mentioned, the Chargers, ton of weapons. Mm. Chicago Bears, they got weapons as well and a really good defense. So I think it could work out in his favor.
The Redskins.
Don't go to the
Redskins. They have
weapons. Don't go to the Redskins.
Hey, they have weapons.
Oh, Darnell, you got something?
I got something. Reggie, your first point, I was going to go with Ron Rivera at first, but you got me thinking, I'm voting off Kyle Allen. He ain't even on the list. I'm in through four picks. Y'all been talking.
Thank you. They talking Blue, greasy Blue about Cal my dog. Man.
I'm voting Kyle Allen off the island.
Kyle Allen ain't your guy, huh?
Look, nine interceptions last four games.
Kyle Allen voted himself off the island Sunday. Late with that.
He walked off.
He left Sunday.
Tua, don't come back to college.
It's Tuesday now.
All right. Messed up.
Joined now by NBA champion, two-time NBA champion, David West. Former Pacer, more famously. Actually, I'm a Pacer fan. All right, David West. David, you're involved with something I was reading up on last night. The Historical Basketball League wants to be disruptive to the NCAA college basketball system and amateurism. You're the chief operating officer. Mm-hmm. Explain the concept behind and why you're involved with the Historical Basketball League and where it's at right now.
Okay. Well, we're a college league that intends to compensate players between the ages of 18 and 23, so think of 5 years of eligibility post high school. You know, we want to cut down all of the things that go on with under the table payments and all of these different things. We want to be a legitimate option for players who don't want to go into the current system that exploits them.
Mm. So in your model, all players involved would have some guaranteed salary structure. Yeah. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, so our players initially would be, you know, it'd be just like a job. You know, we come out, they'd apply for a position. You know, obviously we're gonna look for the top talent, you know, recruit the top 150 in the US, top 75 to 100 internationally, and also recruit, you know, players who are looking to transfer who are in the current college system. Without penalty, so coming into our league without being penalized or have to sit.
And so a guy would go to college and study but play basketball in your league?
Yeah, so we're going to separate education and athletics. So they'll play basketball, play their sport in the summer, like a summer job, be compensated for it. Mm. And then in September through the rest of the year, they'd be like a regular college student. We're not going to limit them to only four-year universities, trade schools, vocational schools, online.
Would y'all pay for them to go to college?
Yep. They're going to have Ooh. Academic scholarships as well.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
You've been working, COO. Okay. well, you're getting these guys prepared and taking care mm-hmm. of them for them to become, hopefully, NBA players. And right now, the NBA ratings are down two consecutive years up to 27%.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley thinks that it's because these players of today are spoiled. Back in his days and before him, crappy shoes, players flow commercial, made only $100,000 a year. And now we got guys who are not loyal to a team, not loyal to a city, making $50 million a year. Where do you come down on that, on this issue of ratings?
Well, I would say, I think right now, I just think people are watching the game in different ways. Mm. I don't think the young consumers are as interested in sitting down and watching the game as they are in watching highlights. But the interest in the game is what I think, to me, is more indicative of where the game is. I think, I don't know if load management, if fans are feeling that. I mean, I know there's sometimes when there's a anticipation of a big game, big matchup, they want the guys to be on the floor. I'm a big proponent of, if you're healthy, you should play.
Hmm?
Yeah, if you're healthy, you should play. I'm a big proponent of that.
You are?
Yeah. And then beyond that, you know, there's special circumstances where guys are banged up. A guy, you know, may have, you know, legitimate grievances and, you know, wants to make sure that he's healthy when it counts.
Well, even though that the human body and any athlete knows that rest is an important part of recovery and building up your game.
Right.
How come load management has a negative connotation when you're really trying to run a marathon and that means you don't sprint every single step?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that word or that term, because usually it was just like a few years ago, it was just rest.
Yeah.
You know,
or guys. Tendonitis.
Right, guys banged up, sore.
Or hungover.
Exactly. Why is it bad now? You guys had it in your era.
Right, right. So I think the name is sort of stigmatized what it actually is. But I think some guys have legitimate health, you know, grievances. Mm. You know, I was thinking about it. I was having a conversation yesterday, and I remember there was a whole season, you know, my back, you know, was so jacked up. I mean, I couldn't sit on a chair. So I literally was on the physio ball
you know, during timeouts, yeah, when I was sitting on the bench because my back literally couldn't handle, you know, the sturdiness of a chair. So you make these decisions to play. You know, I was dealing with numbness down my leg that whole season. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm sitting on that ball and I'm saying, well, I'm going to play, you know, one way or the other. So it's up to, it's really up to the individual, but the circumstances around the guy's injury, if a guy's really banged up, needs that time, you got to give it to him.
All right, David, do you have any interest in being a television broadcaster? Because I'm about to put you to the test.
Okay.
We're going to talk Carmelo Anthony.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Where are you at on Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah.
Do you think he can help the Portland Trail Blazers? 4-14 last night. Where are you at on
Melo? I think, you know, I'm glad Melo's in the league because there are guys who are in the league that individually to a man he's better than, but he's not going to change the outcome of the Portland Trail Blazers. I don't personally think.
Same team, can't get over the hump.
I mean, you know, again, Melo's a guy who's capable, but he's not what he was. None of us are, right? You ultimately get to a point where you've got to change and you've got to alter. What Portland needs is a 25-year-old Melo. You know what I mean? They need a, you know, Carmelo, you know, 10 years ago. I think that changes their fortunes. You know, who he is now, I think he's going to be solid, you know, hopefully a veteran presence, but, you know, they're up against it in the West. And, you know, if they're thinking that, you know, bringing him in is going to somehow change their long-term fortunes, I just don't see that.
It's weird that with Carmelo, we...
Not bad. That was good, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
that was good.
He a COO for a reason.
we use the birth certificate to help our argument against Carmelo, but then we look at LeBron at this age right now and the pace he is going out there and starting this season, 25, 11, and 10 last night.
Right.
Now he has a triple-double against every single NBA team. Can he keep up this pace at this age?
I mean, listen, this guy's always been different from the rest of us.
Okay.
He's always been at a level that, you know, like someone like myself is always, you know, sort of admired, knowing, you know, one of the things that I think is most important about a professional athlete is being honest with yourself. Mm. Like, you got to be truthful about who you are, where you are. And, you know, you can't measure yourself. Nobody should try to measure themselves against this dude. Like, you just can't do it because he's at a realm and he's been at a realm and a stage in his basketball life that, you know, some of us, again, you just can't measure what you are or who you are and then look at him and say, well, LeBron.
So this broadcaster audition has just continued. Are you saying LeBron's the GOAT? Is he better than Jordan?
Don't do that, David.
He's going in quick.
Don't take the bait. He's trying to bait you. Don't take it. Disrespect
Listen,
Mike.
What I've said.
Different than everybody.
He's different than everybody, man.
Everybody. That includes Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and so, again, when you're talking about moments, man, LeBron hasn't been, like, great in those big, big moments.
There you go.
But to a man, basketball-wise, on the floor, we've never seen anybody better.
Oh, I knew I'd get it out of him.
Come on, man. I just can't.
I'm a Pacer fan. I hated Mike growing up, but you can't disrespect Mike.
Listen, I understand. I'm not disrespecting Mike.
Ooh.
I'm not disrespecting. Mike was great. But I just think what LeBron has been able to do, the level that he's able to compete at, it's just like nothing we've ever seen. Man.
You know, I got a personal question I got to ask you. Mm. It's related to LeBron, too. Yeah. Mm. And I wish I had done the research to remember exactly which games, what series, but I know you played in them.
Yeah.
Pacers versus LeBron. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple times where I thought, not you, but I thought the entire Pacer team, or not the entire, but a lot, very intimidated by LeBron.
Yeah.
And that cost us a series.
Yeah. So we weren't intimidated by him, right? Because we had a locker room full of guys that would step to the fight.
Like you.
But we couldn't get to the level that he's capable of getting to. And I think that's what you realize. Like when you feel the fact that, you know, you can play your heart out and play as hard as you possibly. And I remember feeling like this, like, literally, man.
No, I remember.
D-West, this is you. Like, you ain't got nothing else. Like, you rebounding, you elbowing, you grabbing, you know, you being as strong, physical as you need, and it's not enough because you can feel that surge, that energy that he has, the ability to just, you know, we had him down 2-1 in our building, and he just got to a level that we couldn't match, you know, and
And when he's in the right environment, that's contagious to the other guys. It translates to the other.
It's hell of a point. Everything you said is true, except for
the GOAT.
Mike, I want to apologize for your own David's
behalf. The King is the GOAT.
Always the GOAT. Hi, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai, Whitlock and Wiley, joined now by NBA champion Brian Scalabrine and USA Today NBA writer Mark Medina. Let's move to the Staples Center, where Kawhi Leonard and Paul George took the floor together for the first time since joining forces on the Clippers and were able to pull out an overtime win over a very good Celtics team. The Clippers are now at full strength, which makes them a more formidable opponent in the Battle of LA against LeBron's Lakers team that is off to a red-hot start. The question here is, are the full-strength Clippers better than the Los Angeles Lakers?
Yes, they are. The less-than-full-strength Clippers are better than the Los Angeles Lakers. Y'all see the first game of the year? They played each other already, okay? So, I mean, this answers itself, but let's just talk about the layers of the Clippers' greatness. Top layer, just like the Lakers. You got two stars, dynamic duo. And then you start looking at the grades of the Lakers 3 through 7, and you look at the grades of the Clippers players 3 through 7. And two stand out for the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell, and obviously Lou Williams. You got an offensive cyclone and a defensive tornado coming in to say, we're going to play against your $900,000 players in your second line. And that's where I think the game changes when you talk about the Clippers. The Lakers got off to a fast start against the Clippers. No Kuzma, I respect that, in game one. But they get off to a fast start. But then we got to come with our backups, our reserves, who are really starters in this league. And that's when the game changes.
The biggest thing is, the regular season versus the playoffs. The Clippers are built for the playoffs. The Clippers are built to challenge LeBron better than any team besides the Golden State Warriors.
Why the playoffs instead of the regular season?
Because the playoff game, it goes, well, part of it is going to be the injury, but part of it is going to be to slow it down, the pace. It's going to be get your offense. The Lakers aren't going to be able to use Showtime up and down the floor. The Lakers aren't going to be able to put LeBron and AD and run two-man game and then run that play to death in the playoffs. You make adjustment. You're going to have to go to third option, to fourth option, because people are going to take that stuff away. Now, one thing we have to recognize is the greatness of LeBron, and maybe he has another one of those moments where we sit back and say, I thought that Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell, Jermichael Green, those bodies thrown at LeBron was going to be enough, but he goes into his back pocket and digs deeper than we've ever seen him before.
Scott, not only are the Clippers built better for the playoffs, but they're preparing themselves better for the playoffs. Right now, they've been doing the load management on Kawhi. They've been patient with Paul George sitting out the first 11 games. You look at the Lakers, they cannot afford to sit LeBron and AD for an extended period of time. So right now, the Clippers, I don't think, are better than the Lakers, with exception to that season opening win. But they're going to be a lot more healthy because they are sitting these guys. They have the reinforcements. So when they meet in that 7-game series, I'm going to take the Clippers.
I am on board with the Clippers, but LeBron keeps raising doubts for me. How long is he going to be able to do this?
That's unbelievable. This
is incredible. Ooh. He's elevated to another. He's trying to win another MVP. And until I see him slow down, I'm going to have a little bit of hesitation before I just go. And I wasn't expecting this. Coming into the year, I'm all in on the Clippers. It's a mismatch. Seeing LeBron operate at this level in year 17 has shocked the hell out of me. I don't think he can sustain it, but I don't think it's smart to doubt LeBron James.
You know what we probably didn't think about? From Christmas Day last year all the way up until the start of the season this year, he played 1 month of uninspired basketball. I'm talking about LeBron James right here. What was Kawhi Leonard doing? Carrying teams through the playoffs, battling Philly through 7 games, battling the Warriors on the road. He was going through all that, and LeBron was rested, lifting, shooting movies, but getting ready for this season. I did not take that into account when I thought how good LeBron was going to be. I thought it was going to be a continuation of last year. Last year's in the past. He's rested. He looks like he turned back the clock 5 years.
I don't know if I would call this rested. What I call this is someone else, once again, using other people's fuel to gas their engine. So he's using us as his motivation. You ever race somebody and it gets hyped up? I did this race against Keyshawn Johnson, marquee race. All it was false starts. And everyone had to, I'm going to beat you. And they go. It's a marathon, though.
So wait, you get. So,
tell me about this race.
No, no, no,
I'm trying to picture you and Keyshawn.
Oh, it wasn't pretty. I smoked them. But here's the thing. You get into a mindset where all that matters to you is how it looks when you start. But this is a different marathon. And I'm telling you right now, they're using so much of their gas up, whether it's psychologically or just physically, because they have to make an impression where the Clippers don't.
Wait, what makes you when you watch LeBron? Now, I would agree at the beginning of the year, but when you watch LeBron right now, and you guys know I'm not a big LeBron cheerleader at all.
Yep.
But when you watch him right now, what makes you think he's slowing down? Like, you got to tell me. Inform me, because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what makes him slow down. The fact that the way that he's playing, the physicality of that wears and tears on you. At this
we
age.
We think.
You're right.
Here's where I thought
LeBron. It worked last year.
This is where I thought LeBron could never go back to. And he has. And it shocked me. He's all in. Mm. And last year he wasn't. And I thought the Hollywood thing and all the little things that he had going on the side prevented him from going all in. If, you know, Darnell and a few other of our guys go to a lot of these Lakers games and they tell me in the locker room, the chemistry that LeBron has with this group of teammates, he's all in a way that he just wasn't last year. I didn't think he could get back to this mental place. He's behaving and working with Frank Vogel. It's hard for me to doubt LeBron.
Chemistry saves the growing, huh?
I don't have any doubts about LeBron James. He's rested, motivated. He knows when to be aggressive, when to defer to Anthony Davis. But I have some doubts about Anthony Davis. Can he stay healthy?
He's already hurt.
His whole career, he's missed an average of 14 games. And he's already been hurt. He's been dealing with the shoulder injury. Now, let me be clear. Anthony Davis has a very high pain threshold. He's been very aggressive through playing through contact. But there's no way around it. There's going to be injuries that are going to be coming up this season that's going to force him to be out of the lineup, and the Lakers can't afford that.